Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Bretton Cliff's Flea Circus. My name's Cosmo.
Gary Lake. Are you doing the DS for market nuts?
Just got to set the stall up.
Cosmo's going to get some petty cash.
Hey, do you think them Cosmo people are just zig and zag?
Cosmo and Dibs, I'd love to see them side by side. I think they're the same
people. You never see them in the same room, do you?
I think they're the same people. And who do you think Zig and Zag became? Keys and Grey.
It's a distinct possibility. Are you trying to say that Zig and Zag were perverts? Sex pests?
Just aggressive, sexually aggressive.
Sexually aggressive men?
Or they're both men? I presume.
Who? Keys and Grey? I don't know. Well, one has got very hairy arms.
Very hairy arms.
The other one played male football, unless it's one of them Olympic sort of.
No, you're right. You're right.
A woman and I think they're both men.
I'll take it back.
A cheeky book.
We've just come on having heard a bit of the Steve Bruce talking on Radio Newcastle there, which I thought was quite insightful. I know he gets a hard time, Steve, but I quite like hearing his lovely soft explaining voice when he's talking to people.
He goes
quite well. I'm always going to have me critics, aren't I? But you know, I'm at a club
I know
like
the books
Newcastle.
Weren't that good. By the way, everyone, this is Bretton Cliff's Bee Circus. Sharman said.
Oh, yeah.
So, hello.
I did say it. I said it in Cosmo's voice. I mean, Cosmo
you
said
you just
it.
Went, hello, I'm Cosmo. And then he started laughing.
I said it. And anyway, I was going to try something new. Welcome to this week's episode of Bretton Cliff's Flea Circus. Coming up on the show tonight, we're going to have some general chat about stuff that's happened in the past week and that. Then we're going to talk about the film Chopper. And then we're going to have a quiz, a Clifford quiz, so you know it's going to be good. And then we've got music coming up from a band called Tomorrow Syndicate, which I think is really good. But now, on with the show, Brett.
Oh, lovely. Hey, Cliff, can I have permission to maximise your face? Because I haven't done that before on
maximize
the computer. Oh, it's a bit of a disappointment.
Is it?
Unfortunately, it is.
Can you not see that little message I've written on my left cheek for you?
No, I thought your whole face was going to come on screen.
Maximize it a bit more.
I can it. That's it.
Zoom.
It's all done. I'm not zooming. No, I'm not doing that. Back in the Steve Bruce interview, my favourite part was where someone called him Stephen Bruce.
Well, they're disappointed in him.
They definitely were. But you're all right about his lovely voice. He's got a very calming voice, doesn't he?
He said at one point, and to be fair, Wardy told us this, and that's when I tuned in. He said,
right.
I don't know what anybody asked him, but he said, to be honest, I've never cooked a thing in my entire life.
I just get the lunch and meat out the fridge at midnight.
Yeah.
Pre-cooked.
Sandwich crisps. Pork pies.
No, I have to cook myself. He sounds like a man after my own heart, doesn't he?
Yeah, and I thought you've often knocked them, but you know, you've obviously got something in common with him.
I've never knocked him. I like him. I think he's great.
Well, when he was Sunderland manager, I'm pretty sure we weren't happy with him.
maybe. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I didn't listen to it all because I was working, but I hope he mentioned his books. I mean, please God.
They go for a lot of money on the old eBay now. Obviously, I donated mine to Wardy when I left and came here. So
you shouldn't have, should you?
Worth a lot of money. No, I wish I hadn't. It's worth a lot of money. I think he bought us it in the first place. I think.
Did he? That's a gift, surely. You don't have to give him
it
back.
He didn't expect it back, no. But,
that's not how it works, is it? Or at least I hope not.
Brett, how are you with numbers and counting?
Absolutely terrible.
Oh,
yeah.
I've had me world rocked this week.
Why?
Pearl's learning to count.
Mm-hmm.
And she just keeps saying one for everything. But she's right, isn't she? Because everything is one. And I don't know how to explain it to her.
Is there some kind of Buddhist argument or something?
So she's got like... let's say she's got these balls and she's going one, she's putting it
and she's
down.
Picking she's up, going, she's saying one.
She's going one, putting it down. Yeah. And she's getting the other one, and I'm going two.
Another
she's
one.
She's just going one. And I'm like,
it is one,
isn't it?
Yeah.
She's right, but I can't.
She's right. How could you?
I'm like, but when you put it next to that one, that's two. And she's like, one. I'm like, yeah, we'll just do that for your entire life.
Shit.
Just count everything in single units.
Yeah, I mean, I think I could confidently count to 10, but I think that's it for
me. Okay, I mean, well, let's not push it because we don't want you to have a seizure.
An aneurysm or something.
And I almost said aneurysm, but I changed it.
No, you didn't.
I did. I tell you, I did.
Liar. Lying get.
No, it's the truth.
How much can you count it, Cliff?
I mean, probably to the end, I think.
The end of
All of them, like all the numbers.
I knew you'd go. I thought you'd at least go one better, but you've gone the infinite.
Count to the top.
You just keep going. Just keep going until you're dead. Hey, the Ben's getting good on his guitar. He's better than me, obviously. He played Nirvana. Nice class. Played as a Nirvana song a couple of nights ago. He's a big fan of the Chief. He's a big fan of Noel Gallagher.
Okay.
And stuff. So he's. I think that's what got him into it. Well, it was me, but like, you know, put him on Noel Gallagher and stuff.
Yeah.
But he's honestly got talent, like.
Oh, so good. That's class.
We might be going to see him in a band.
Pearl loves dancing.
Yes. So she could be the best of the group.
Honestly, it would be fucking brilliant if she was the best of the group. Because she just got, as soon as I switch the record player on now or get the speaker on, like got a Bluetooth speaker in the bedroom, she just goes, dance, daddy dance. I've got to dance with her. But I can't.
You've got to dance.
I can't do it. I can't do it to her standards. She's amazing. I was very sad to see Sean Locke had died. I really liked Sean Locke. Thought he was one of the best telly comedians for sure. He was always the best one on anything he was on. I've seen him live a couple of times and he was absolutely fantastic. I just really liked these slightly surreal, like what seemed like kind of absurdist train of thought kind of stuff. But obviously it wasn't very clever. He always had to like, it seemed like he always was waiting for people to catch up with what the joke was, which I like him. So I'm very sad.
He was definitely the funniest on that program, wasn't he?
Oh, by a mile. Like you can tell sometimes he just wasn't impressed by the other people on it. I watched a film called Sensor. Have you heard of
Sensor?
It? Yeah. Have you heard of it? Not so like dinosaur, like somebody who censors things.
Right, is it a sensor at a revolving door or something like that? Is that what it is? I hope it is.
Yeah, it's about a day in the life of a revolving door sensor. Oh, I'm going to make it stop now for this knobhead who's coming. So we'll walk into it. He won't be quite sure how you get it going again. Do you have to touch it? Because it says don't touch it. But sometimes that's the only way you can get it to move. So who knows how they fucking work?
And he accidentally traps a crime boss in the doors. Is that what happens?
Have you seen the film Phone Booth?
Yes, I've seen that film, actually.
Essentially, it's the same plot, but not a phone booth. It's a stuck revolving door.
It sounds good. I think I'd like to see it.
No, it is about a girl, a young woman, who works as a censor at the British Film Institute in the 80s, having to censor video nasties and that.
And right. Is it about the powers that be putting pressure on her to ban films? Is that what it's about?
It's kind of about that. Like, she lets one go and it comes back to bite her on the arse because somebody's in the news and he gets blamed on a film that she said was okay to go out.
Is this a true story?
No, it's it turns into like a horror.
Right.
I'll see. Is it real? She thinks she's in the film. She goes to see the director and blah, blah, blah. It's all right. It's all right. I like the style of it. The music, very 80s synthy kind of that kind of stuff. And the look and feel of it's good, but I'm not sure it really fulfills its promise from the beginning. Watch it if you want, that's all I'm saying.
I don't think you've picked it up enough. I foolishly started watching Game of Thrones with the boy and Chernobyl with the wife.
I've got no interest in Game of Thrones.
Yes, I know.
And Chernobyl, I think I would watch, but it just seems a bit boring.
Have you not seen Chernobyl?
No, I know what happens.
It's class Chernobyl, man. It's absolutely brilliant.
Are you watching it for a second time?
Uh-huh. This is the second time that I've watched it because the wife didn't watch it the first time. So
Looks hard. Looks like it's hard going.
Well, I like that kind of stuff, you know. Well, I like all kinds of stuff, but yeah, I'm watching that.
Jared Harris is in it. We like Jared Harris.
He is.
He's something amazing that I've watched this week called Kill the Beast. The Beast Must Die. It was on BritBox.
Mm-hmm.
It was shit. And then he turned up in the last 5 minutes of the first episode and he just blew everyone off the screen and it became good for that 5 minutes. So I don't know whether they keep watching.
I bet
it
it's not as good as the Amicus film, The Beast Must Die, because that is quite possibly one of the greatest films ever made about a werewolf, which is just a dog. Loads of different actors in it. Actually, it's like a murder mystery. Guess who the werewolf is?
When it turns out to be the dog.
Let's just talk about Uncle Chop Chop, shall
we? Uncle Chop Chop. Chopper, the film from the year 2000, which is having a bit of a 20th anniversary re-release now, a year late because of COVID.
It's a 2000 Australian crime drama written and directed by Andrew Dominic, based on the autobiographical books by Mark Chopper Reed.
Okay.
Starring the amazing, in this film anyway, Eric Bana.
Yeah, that's superb. And Andrew Dominic, also excellent, who's gone on to do other good stuff as well. I think it's a great combination. Eric Bana, this is probably his breakout role in terms of getting to Hollywood, isn't it? Would you say?
Yeah, definitely. It definitely is. I mean, he's amazing in this film. It's like you can't keep your eyes off him. I think it's just an amazing performance.
He takes up almost all of the screen in almost every single shot, so it's pretty hard to avoid him. But yeah, also the music's done by Mick Harvey, formerly from Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, The Birthday Party. Music's pretty good as well, I think.
It is.
It's foreboding because it's a nasty film, but also funny. About a bad man who's also quite nice.
Yeah, he's a comedian and a monster, isn't he?
Yeah, it's a strange one. It's a strange film. I've just read an interview with Andrew Dominic now about it on its re-release, and he's kind of saying, it's pro-Chopper. I wanted it to be sympathetic towards him because he's a complex man. It's not quite as straightforward as that, but it does make you see him in not necessarily a terrible light.
I think that a part of the film it does both, I think, doesn't it? Sometimes, I mean, it is very funny, the film, and there's parts of the film which are funny which you shouldn't really laugh at, and they make it even more funny. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it. came in between, you know, like Pulp Fiction and sort of, you know, Lock, Stock and stuff like that, where it was like really violent and stuff, but also funny at the same time.
Yeah.
There's not many of them films about anymore, is there? Do you know what I mean? I don't think they can really get away with them.
Yeah,
anymore.
I was going to say, I think, you know, I'm not a huge fan of these biopics and stuff, kind of. If you say glamorizing criminals, it's very that's a very broad stroke to put. But you know, those films about Ted Bundy and stuff like that, I've got no interest in watching them. Like, why? I'm not keen. I don't necessarily agree with it. And I suppose this kind of falls into that category. But I don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
But also,
I don't think so.
What has he actually done? He's not a serial killer. You know what I mean? He's not.
Yeah.
Killed millions of innocent women or whatever. You know, he's not a world famous monster that has suddenly got a Hollywood film with a handsome lead man playing him. This is quite a gritty, low budget film where he's made out to be a psychopath, but albeit one that can be quite funny and charming at the same time.
Yeah, well, in Australia, he's like a massive star, was, because he stayed there, but he was a massive star in Australia. He was infamous, I guess, is the best word, isn't it?
Is he Charles? Yeah, is he the Charles crimes. Bronson of Australia?
Yeah. I think that's fair to say. I don't think the Fulham Bronson would have been made without this film, I don't think.
No, it's quite similar,
Tom
I think.
Hardy. Yeah, but this one's much better. So, he's been on, like, comedy circuits and stuff like that, Chopper, in Australia. He's been on the TV. Everybody knows who he is. He's kind of like, people like him because what he does is go around robbing drug dealers. That's his stick, really.
Yeah,
He just goes around being violent. Yeah, that's what he says. I'm sure if you met him in real life, you know, it wouldn't be the case. If you pissed him off, he'd have you, wouldn't he?
I think that comes across in the film. I think that's something that does really well. Like he's on a knife edge all the time, isn't he? And it's part of his thing is that he seems to unnerve people by being really nice to them and then flipping and being really mean to them, shooting them or scaring them or whatever. And then on the flip side of that, when he does something really bad, he seems to have a pang of consciousness where he's like, oh shit, what have I done? I've just done something really evil. I feel really bad about myself. I'm going to go and cry in a corner kind of thing.
Strange one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
But it's the complex character of him, isn't it? That's what makes it interesting. Like if he shoots somebody and he immediately apologizes and he's asking how they are and stuff like that, it's like it gets you off kilter straight away.
It does.
You know what I mean?
It does put you like on the back foot and you're not quite sure what's going on. I think that from a directing point of view, I think Andrew Dominik plays that superbly throughout the full film. But none of that would be possible without Eric Bana doing what he does in it, because his performance is just absolutely superb. Like we said,
he's unbelievable.
It's pretty much him for 90 minutes talking nonstop, being center of attention nonstop, which is what the character is. With a couple of other people in it that are kind of sideshow characters, some of which are funny, tragic. And also he does that thing where he's skinny and then he's fat.
I think there was a period where they had to stop filming or whatever, so he just like ate for 2 weeks or something like that, Eric Bana. But he also spent like a couple of days with Chopper and got his mannerisms. Mm-hmm. And the thing with Eric Bana, people don't realise, he was like a comedian before he was an actor. That's what he did before in Australia. And he would imitate people. So I've watched a couple of interviews with him and he says, I don't know how to act, but I know how to imitate people. Mm-hmm. That's all I do. So... it's strange to think that he's a comedian because he's a pretty serious guy, really.
Yeah, he doesn't do a very good impression of the Incredible Hulk, so I would never have known that.
I actually like that film. I actually really like that film, which is mental. I think I'm the only
I'm only
person
joking. I can't remember it.
But I mean, the film, it just starts, it's a mad rush, the film. Yeah. One, the colours are just like in your face, aren't they? The weird blue and green colours and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's oversaturated. Like when they're in the prison, it's oversaturated with like this blue. When he's out in the 80s, when he's out causing problems on the streets of... What town is it, by the way? Is it Auckland? It's all like, it's kind of orangey and oversaturated, and it's all quite grainy. Yeah. And
I think Andrew Dominic called it visual overload. He wanted it to be like overly colour and stuff.
Yeah,
and
I mean, that has its own, plays its own part in the film. I think it's good. He's on telly giving an interview about why he's so popular, and he's watching that interview while in prison with a couple of prison guards, like laughing his head off at his own performance, really pleased with himself being on telly and the stuff he's saying. And then it kind of goes back to
1978, doesn't it, with the prison.
When he's in prison. Mm-hmm. You don't really get to know. I suppose this is a thing in England or wherever, like, I don't know, we don't really know this story, but maybe in Australia, you know that what he was in prison for, 1978 and all of this stuff. So it doesn't really give you much backstory to start the film off with, which is fine. You get there quick enough.
I mean, I don't think that, you know, they expected it to be such a massive cult hit as it is, because people love this film. I love this film. The first time I saw it, it was like on BBC Two, I think, and you know, it was a couple of years after it had come out, and I was like, oh, should I watch this? And I kind of, you know, after the first 10, 15 minutes, I was like massively hooked. Mm-hmm. This film's based on his books, which are bestsellers and stuff like that. And he can't even bloody spell.
Yeah, he points it out quite a few times.
He's semi-bloody illiterate.
He's really pleased with that line, isn't he?
He loves so that. The fact that, like, academics have been trying to write all these books or whatever, and he's just sat in prison writing these books, making loads of money. It's just great. But some of the lines in this film are just, they're just so funny and stuff.
Some of the scenes,
Eric Bana's amazing. Yeah.
There's a few like scenes that are superb, like the beginning bit, once it goes into prison in 1978, he's having a bit of a standoff with a guy that he obviously has some beef with. And it's quite funny.
Yeah, the paint and doctors guy. Yeah, Keithy. Keithy George.
It's quite a good back and forwards. So they're like ribbing each other, and the other guy's obviously fairly like serious and angry. Whereas you get the sense straight away that this character, he's a piss taker, like he's enjoying winding him up.
He's asking about Beethoven and stuff like that. Beethoven had his critics as well. Name three of them.
He's one of those where you get the sense that he's obviously not totally daft, but he's probably nowhere near as clever as he thinks he is. But he's dealing with people who definitely aren't as clever.
Guy, mate, actually.
Yeah,
you know, he's definitely in that situation, isn't he, where he's dealing with people who aren't as clever. Mm. He's also in a situation that he seems to love, that he's in with these guys or whatever. These, and everybody else doesn't particularly like prison. I think he's in his element.
Yeah,
you know,
I think
I mean?
He's reveling in it. And I think that's one of the things when he gets out, eventually life's a mess, isn't it, when he's outside of prison. He's paranoid.
Massively paranoid, isn't he?
He's paranoid. Yeah. Everyone's out to get him. Like, he doesn't really know what he should be doing. His two cellmates, who are his little buddies, who are both losers.
Yeah.
One's like a sniveling wreck, and the other one's just a strung-out waster. Basically, he's telling them that they've got to go on this big rampage and take over the prison, and they're going to break out, and they're going to cripple everyone on the way, and all of this kind of stuff. And,
that's his plan, isn't it? To ice pick every prisoner in the prison.
Obviously, they know that they're going to get caught and stopped before that gets finished. Whereas I don't think he cares because he's a psychopath.
Yeah. And also that he's took down like one of the paint and doctor guys who are like union people.
Yeah. So
there's
like
going to be people after them, isn't
there? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So one of them decides to turn on him, and you think he's punched him a couple of times and there's no effect, but then he realizes he stabbed him. And the next 5 minutes of the film are just absolutely hilarious. It's amazing.
It's hilarious and really like disturbing at the same time. It's a weird mix.
And I think that's the whole film's like that. But so he stabbed him, but it seems to be literally no effect on Chopper that he's been stabbed multiple times. What's got into you? And he's just cuddling him. Come here. It's all right. It's all right. Just give us a cuddle, mate. It's fine. what have you bloody done that for?
It's class. Mixed with an Australian accent as well. It's just so, it just fits so well, doesn't it? With the humor and the brutality of it and stuff like that. It's just like a magic mix, I think, where he's stabbing him and he's like you see, he's got no effect or whatever. And he's what's the matter with you? What's going to you it's this so morning? Funny. So Jimmy Laughlin stabbed him, and the reason that he stabbed him is one, there's a contract out on him because he stabbed Kitty George. And if he doesn't do anything about it, Jimmy Laughlin, he's going to be killed as well. Yeah. So he stabs him. They go to court and stuff like that, don't they? And Chopper lends him his suit and everything. Yeah. He's been cross-examined by Jimmy Laughlin, which is another funny bit. But then they go back and the whole jail's basically turned on Chopper, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And he wants out and they won't let him out. He says, well, I'll get out. I'll get out. So what does he do there, Cliff?
Yeah,
to get out of the prison.
He gets somebody to chop his ears off, so he ends up having to leave the prison. It's mental.
It is.
So yeah, so he ends up out of that H wing or H division, and presumably he goes off into somewhere that's more safe. And after a while, he gets out, but it just kind of cuts to X amount of years down the line, and he's out and just having a bit of a shit time, isn't he? He's doing drugs. He's getting pissed. He's got an abusive dad. Doesn't really go into too much of that, but certainly not a healthy relationship. He's got an odd relationship with a woman who's a prostitute, who he's very possessive over. He's very jealous. The amount of drugs and stuff that's going on probably doesn't help. And he wants to be a big guy again outside of prison like he was in prison. And he starts just trying to take down loads of people he doesn't really need to get
drug
involved,
dealers, isn't he? I mean, the first time he goes out with his girlfriend, who's also a prostitute, he goes to Bojangles, which is like this nightclub or what have you, and he meets Neville Bartos. And initially, he doesn't really know who he is, even though he's shot him in the leg.
Yeah.
So Neville Bartos is supposed to be this big drug dealer or what have you.
Yeah.
And they have a bit of to do and stuff like that in the nightclub. He has an argument with his girlfriend and goes back to her house. And this shouldn't be funny, but it is really funny. He has an argument with his girlfriend and headbutts her mother.
Yeah.
And then he goes to her, look, your mum's upset. Look what you've done. after he's headbutted her.
Yeah.
It's that mix of like, it shouldn't be funny. It's really bad violence, but it is funny. It's just a strange...
But it shows him to be a violent, aggressive man. It's not like sugarcoating it. It's just showing like the kind of behavior that he was.
Yeah,
like him and other.
He's
people.
A wicked man, isn't he?
Yeah,
definitely a wicked man.
So yeah, he tries to take down Neville Bartos, doesn't he? He wants to take him down a peg or two, and
he wants to shake him down, doesn't he?
Yeah,
because that's what he does. That's apparently his MO, isn't it? Yeah. Just shaking down drug dealers and these. Drug dealers welcome them into the houses or whatever because he's Chopper and they want to be seen with him or whatever. Yeah. And he does the same with Neville Bartos, doesn't he? All right, Neville, you want to give us some money?
Yeah.
But there's amazing bits in it where he is being like that jovial kind of character and then he just switches it's like that and he's menacing.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And that's what's scary about it, right? Because you don't know where you are with him. And he goes, he searches out his old mate and adversary, Jimmy Laughlin, who's also in a terrible situation. Heroin addict with his heroin addict wife and kid and another one on the way. It's living in squalor. It's awful. That's really horrible.
It is awful.
And he's taking the piss out of him. He's like, oh, you really landed on your knees when you got out of prison.
He is. I mean, the reason that he does that goes to see Jimmy Laughlin is he ends up shooting Neville Bartos again for the second time, doesn't he?
Yeah.
To get some money out of him and stuff like that. He also drives him to the hospital and stuff like that, which is another absolutely brilliant monologue because he thinks that he's got like a green light from the police. He's talking to the police as well.
Yeah.
And he thinks that he's got a green light just to do whatever he wants.
He's going, yeah. And the police are going, can we just make sure you do not have our permission to do any vigilante justice? And he's like,
all right.
I understand it. You can't be seen to say it. And they're like, no, we're not. Can't be seen to say it. We are not giving you permission. He's like, I've got you. Don't worry. But then obviously he's going around telling people, look,
he's telling the police everybody,
basically,
isn't he?
Mm-hmm. I am acting like it as an enforcer on behalf of the police here.
Neville Bartos puts a contract out on, doesn't he? And that's why he goes to Jimmy Laughlin, because Jimmy Laughlin's supposed to be the person that's going to kill him or whatever. And there's like this horrible bit, isn't there? All right, Chazza. Night, night, Chazza.
It's awful.
The way he's talking to that kid.
Yeah.
It's awful.
So like loud, you know, in your face, isn't it? It's uncomfortable. Like you wouldn't talk to kids like that.
Kind
of like go down to kids' level, don't you? And like you're nice and like kind of soft with them. And he's just like,
he's not doing that at all. He's
fucking like out there. But he's saying like childish things, but in a really like intimidating way.
Menacing voice.
Yeah. It's horrible.
Jimmy Laughlin rings Neville Bartos and stuff like, oh, he's got front of the nightclub, and there's this Turk guy who keeps trying to talk to him, isn't there?
Yeah.
Who gets him out in the car park in nefarious. You don't know whether he's getting him out there just to get him out there, or he is part of the plot for Jimmy Laughlin to shoot him.
Yeah.
And Chopper just ends up shooting him in the face. And back to form, you're right, mate.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
After
he shot
him
in the face. It's just a really funny, violent, entertaining film that just seems to whiz past.
It's quite short anyway. It's less than an hour and a half, and it's just high octane. Mm-hmm. And the performance and the direction just draw you in straight away. It's captivating. The way it's shot and the way it looks, coupled with the performance, is just, you just can't take your eyes off him, whether he's being good or bad.
A new generation of people like appreciating the film. My son, who's 15, watched it, loved it. It's one of his favourite films. Showed it all of his mates. So, do you know what I mean? It's still got lasting power and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Sure. Brett, last week you attempted a quiz, and it's fair to say,
yes,
you fucked it right up. So
I did indeed. So
can we leave the quiz to the master, somebody who knows what they're doing?
Yeah, let's certainly try that. Is it possible that anybody would be able to answer these questions?
Yes,
me,
because it's a simple.
Are you sure about that?
It's a simple one, true or false kind of thing.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you, is it, Cliff?
No, well, it's not. That's also not what it is, really, but I couldn't think of a way to describe
it. See? You've started already, haven't you? It's a simple true or false thing. Is it? Oh, that's nice. No, it's not.
I'll tell you what it is, Brett.
I'll still not understand it.
No, it's very simple, because last week you couldn't even get the hang of just asking the right question and giving the right answer. So I've taken back control.
You have not done that once in any of your quizzes.
Brett, let the record show.
Oh, okay, let's see what happens.
Listen back to the episodes and judge it again, right?
Which one? Pick one.
Any of them. You'll probably, when you listen to it again, you'll realise, oh, actually, those quizzes were fucking brilliant. And just because I couldn't get the answers, I've got to really, like,
all the questions.
This quiz is called...
Yes?
Neighbours. Or, I've never seen Home and Away. Home and Away. Is that the theme tune to that?
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
Okay. For someone that's never seen it, you got that exactly spot on.
Okay, good. Well, you know. So all you have to do in this quiz, Brett, I've never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
You liar.
All you have to do in this quiz, Brett, I am going to read out the name of a celebrity, actor or female actor. And all you need to do is tell us, were they in Neighbours or were they in Home and Away?
Okay.
See?
Simple?
Simple.
Couldn't be simpler.
And what the character name was.
Oh.
No, you don't. You don't have to tell us that, man. I'm pulling your leg.
Oh, thanks. Thanks,
but
Cliff.
Hey, Cliff.
I'm very excited for this.
Okay. Good.
I thought, you know what?
I genuinely thought you were going to say, you're a good one. Genuinely thought that's what you're going to say.
I'm generally excited for it. You're not a good one.
Let's start with Neighbours or Home and Away. Big, bad Russell Crowe.
Ooh, Neighbours.
correct. Do you know his character name?
Don Hughes.
Don Hughes, yeah. It's very close, yeah. Brett. Very close.
It is, uh-huh.
It's Kenny. What I think I've written Larkin. I think it's Kenny Larkin.
Kenny Larkin, is it?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Right.
Okay, uh-huh. But you've got one. You've got one out of one. So
is that what got him into the big leagues? Uh-huh. Being Kenny Larkin.
Uh-huh, it was, yeah. Absolutely. Was it?
Right.
Number two.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Hemsworth.
Neighbours.
Wrong. It's Home and Away. And for an extra point.
Is that Thor?
You know what, Brett? The other one's coming up later on. I've got no idea which one's which. genuinely no idea which one's
what,
which.
One's in Westworld, isn't he?
Yeah, but is that not the Thor one?
No, that's not the Thor one. That's his brother. But what about Chris Hemsworth then?
Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
He's not the Thor one. Is he the Westworld one?
Hold on.
Is there a way we can find this out? Where are you going? You look at your DVD collection. Brett, what are you thumbing through that book for? Oh, yeah. It's your current book of actors. Hey!
Joey Cliff.
Hello. Lennon. How are you doing?
Ask him.
I'm fine.
Good.
About Chris Hemsworth.
Lennon.
Thor.
Which one's Chris Hemsworth? What does he play? Is that Thor?
Thor. Yeah.
What about Liam Hemsworth? Who's he?
He's his brother.
Well, what does he play? What's he?
I don't know.
Nothing.
I don't know.
Well, so that's Chris all we want to find out. Chris Hemsworth. Thor. Yeah. That's all we want to know.
Well, that's what we're wanting to know.
We still need to uncover.
What's going on there? That's it. Go on, you can go now. All right. You have now. I did that clear it up for you, did
got
it?
A dressing gown on.
He's always dressed as Hugh Hefner.
You've got the same haircut, I see.
Yeah, yeah, we have matching haircuts. Mm-hmm. Just because you can't grow your hair this long, don't get at me, man.
Good, good. Well, I'm not your.
No, yeah, you couldn't.
I'm not your offspring.
That's the greatest insult ever. I'm not your offspring. You know, like that. Was it a marrow or whatever on Vic and Bob? That's Swizz. That's like one of his insults. She ate!
Yeah, that guy.
Right, we've got. We've
right,
got
okay, so can I just tell you, Brett, that you've failed to distract us from the fact that you got that question wrong. Hemsworth plays Kim Hyde, maybe a lady, in Home and Away.
Right, okay.
Next one. Mm-hmm. Naomi Watts.
Ooh, well, I wasn't sure. I didn't think that she was in any of these soaps.
She's in one of them.
Oh, we'll go Home and Away.
Correct. She played a character called Julie Gibson.
Julie Gibson.
Gibson. Get it right.
K. Gibson. Why did I think you said Julie?
Julie Gibson.
Julie Gibson.
Don't fuck off.
Does she sell houses?
Right, next one. Margot Robbie.
I think she was in Neighbours, Cliff.
You're correct, and she played a character called Donna Brown. Good name.
Nice name. I like that name. It's better than Julie Gibson.
It is, but luckily Naomi Watts didn't play somebody called that. So we're going to move on to Heath Ledger.
Home and Away.
He is from Home and Away. He played a character called Scott Irwin.
Sounds like a right jock.
We now come up to Liam Hemsworth, who presumably is the one from the...
Well, I'll go and get Lennon again.
He didn't know I asked him. I asked him, he had no idea.
He knew about Thor, though. We couldn't... The whole point of him being here was to tell if he was Thor or not.
He knew that, but I said, what's Liam Hemsworth in then? And he said he had no idea what he's in.
It's just his brother.
Okay, well, Liam Hemsworth, was he in Home and Away or Neighbours?
I'll go...
His brother, by the way, was in Home and Away, which you got wrong.
Right. Okay. I'll go Home and Away.
No, he's the Neighbours. He played a man called Josh Taylor.
Oh, my God. Why couldn't you ask us about the Mangles?
Who's the best Mangle?
Oh, the Nana Mangle who went mad.
Mrs. Mangle.
That's it. I've decided to call her Nana Mangle because, like, I assumed she was me, Nana.
Mrs. Mangle.
Who was the other Mangle, the comedian? Was he was a Mangle, wasn't he?
The one who was the presented Mangle? The Big Breakfast.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, him, the comedian guy or whatever.
Is he a comedian? Like, I was never quite sure.
I wasn't quite sure either. The Mangler?
The Mangler, yeah, the serial killer, the Mangler. Of course, he was, yeah. He was in them.
From the family of Manglers.
There's still two more celebrities to go.
The dog?
The first one.
Right.
The first one is Guy Pearce.
Who's a great actor, isn't he?
Fantastic, I love him.
And a good guitarist and singer.
Yeah,
and songwriter.
He's quite good. I've heard got a couple of his songs.
You've sent us it. You've sent us it, man. That's how I know. Wouldn't know anything about it otherwise. But yeah, you've sent us it. I would definitely say Neighbours for Mr. Guy Pearce.
Oh, I thought that, but it's not. It's Home and Away. I definitely thought he was a Neighbours. Home and Away.
Someone's going to have to check your information. I'm sure that's wrong, man.
Well, there's one more to go, but there's about another 10 people that I could have put into this.
Yeah.
That it's incredible the people that have been through Neighbours and Home and Away that have ended up Hollywood stars, like Isla Fisher, Melissa George are on it as well. There's, you know, that guy who's in House, the Libby Kennedy's brother. Ben Mendelsohn is the last one. Another
Ben Mendelsohn,
absolutely fantastic actor. Love this guy.
You know what? I don't know who Ben Mendelsohn is.
Do you not?
I don't think so.
You watch the Star Warses.
Yes, I've seen all the Star Warses.
Rogue One.
Yes.
I think he's like the Empire, like bad guy in that.
Oh, him. He's class, isn't he? He's in a Stephen King thing that I watched.
That's it. Yeah,
The Outsider.
He's in that.
Yeah, he is good, isn't he? I didn't know he was in it. I'll have to say, because I don't know this one, Home and Away.
No, he was in Neighbours, and he was played a character called Warren, and the name I've written here looks like Mums, Warren Mums.
Warren Mums. Nice name, isn't he? What do you think, it was a serial killer, Warren Mums?
Sounds like a serial killer name.
He did. He'd only murder the mums, wouldn't he?
I think you got all of them right. So well done.
Thanks. And I will say this, Cliff. That was the best quiz you've ever done. I'm glad I was excited about it. Thank you very much.
Yes,
well done. You've outdone yourself, there.
You know what, Brett? I'm a good one.
You're a good one. You're a nice lad, you aren't you?
He's a nice lad, isn't he?
He's a nice lad.
We've got some music. I really, really love this music.
Yes, I think I must have listened to this about 10 times. I think it's class. Absolutely class.
You're not good enough that you can remember the name of it, though, because you're rifling through your notes there.
No, I remember the name of it. Cossadu. Cossadu.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Cossadu. tell me the name, Brett.
Are we going to do this in this section? Okay, today we have the music, and the music comes from Tomorrow Syndicate. They're from Glasgow, and this is popular.
I don't think that's racist, because it bore no resemblance to any accent from around the world.
Well, that is mainly how my accent works.
That is a boon for us all. So
yes, it's a Davidson accent. So this is Tomorrow Syndicate, populist. It's amazing.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks for listening, everyone. Enjoy the music. Join us next time. Bye.
Hey.
Bye. We'll be right back.
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.